Welcome to the Nourish Me podcast. I'm Joanne Pavin, your host. And if you found yourself here, you're ready to take actionable steps to optimize your health and live a more balanced, productive, and creative life. In our tech-driven world, we need a reminder to slow down, stop the scroll, and take digital breaks. I'm here to inspire you to step away from your screen, to nourish yourself through nature and connection to others, to follow a new algorithm, the rhythm of real life. So let's get started. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Nourish Me podcast. If you're a new listener, I'm grateful you found me and stick around. You won't be disappointed. Today is an entertaining episode with Angela Jameson, who is a multi-talented Canadian woman with an awesome sense of humor. She's a former petroleum engineer turned consultant and transformational coach. She is also a digital creator, author, publisher of romance novels, and most importantly, a mother to three children. She hails from Saskatoon, Canada, where she was born and raised, but her work has brought her around the world. Her current work is teaching her audience how to engineer yourself, which helps engineers and science-based professionals see the logic behind their emotions and softer side. She incorporates stories from her own life to teach and drive home one of her unique themes, which is finding the magic before science. We unpack how she came to terms with being a working mom and the realization that we all have a spiritual mission and that we can all achieve success and balance through relaxed productivity, the name of her new course. And finally, we dive into her book, Using Number Two to Get to Number One, and her enlightened and heartfelt advice for women engineers, entrepreneurs, and mothers. Here is Angela Jameson.
Welcome, Angela.
Hey, Joanne. Thanks for having me.
This is Angela Jameson. I'm so excited to have our conversation today, especially since we're in Women's Month, International Women's Month. And Angela is a powerhouse woman. She is an engineer, a consultant. She is a transformational coach. And first and foremost, she's a mother to three children and a wife to a husband, right? The why.
The why, exactly.
The why. And so today we're going to dive into Angela's story. She has a really inspirational story. She does many creative and analytical things. She has her slogan, which is where science meets spirit, in her current position, which is Angela Jameson Transformational Coaching. So why don't we just get right into it, Angela, with where science meets spirit. Why don't you give us your background, your story, bring us up to speed with
my story. Okay, well, where do you want to start, Joanne? I will start with the engineering part of it. Because for me now, it's a few years ago. I was a petroleum engineer for 16 years and worked globally. So I was fortunate to work in Canada, in the Netherlands, and in Brunei. I was born and raised in Canada. So as I was traveling, I was popping out kids along the way. And so on the third one, I thought, man, it is time to go home. So after the third one came, I just moved back home to Saskatoon, where I was born and raised, got the acreage that I was raised on, and wanted to just raise my kids here. So we've been here ever since, and that was like a billion years ago, 14.
Mm-hmm. And, Saskatoon, Canada.
Yes, in the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. And then I'm in an acreage outside the middle of nowhere. So I am really in the middle of nowhere. And so there's no really petroleum engineering here. So I thought I'm going to have to reinvent myself. And besides, I had a newborn. So Took a little bit of time off. I did a little bit of consulting because I think going from a career that's really busy and where I was my husband was followed me on this career. And going to housewife with new baby, that just about did me in. Because I'm used to having, like, my day was like meeting. And then now I had a crying baby and a toddler snotting my leg up and a kid at school, right? So it was really different. And I needed to get used to that. So when the little one was just, I think it was not even two, I thought I need some time to myself. And I put myself out for some consulting, and a consulting company did pick me up. So that was like a day and a half outside of a week outside of the home, where I was able to actually get dressed with non-snotty clothes and just be human again, you know, just to actually talk to adults. I think I needed that.
Then
that kind of, so my father, he passed away, unfortunately, 3 years after we got home. And that was my big epiphany, because as I was working this job, so this consulting job eventually turned into an almost full-time job when they asked me to be the COO of the consulting company. So I was doing that, but trying to do it part-time, impossible. So I was at home with my little person typing emails going, I'll be right there. Yeah, I'll just hold on a minute. Mommy's coming, right? And then you suck at everything.
I know.
So, and then my dad died. What am I doing? You know, it was a really big knock on the head of like my dad, who's an immigrant. He did so many amazing things in his life, and then he's gone. Like, I talked to him at midnight. I said, I'm going to come and see you tomorrow morning after I get the kids on the bus. And I didn't make it back in time before he passed away, right? 8:09, my brother called and he said, Dad's gone. And I was going to leave at 8:30. And I'm just like, why are we here? Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, that was the really big hit me. So it really got me on the path of like trying to figure out what am I doing here? So I quit my COO job, because that's the easiest thing to take out. And I just refocused, and I did so much reading, so much personal development. I listened to YouTube. I just tried to immerse myself in trying to explain to myself why I'm here. Yeah. And, you know, I was raised in a church, but a lot of those things didn't make sense to my logical brain. Like, I was told things like, God will save you, but won't save that person. And I'm like, why? Like, right. That doesn't seem like it made sense. Like, so there was a lot of things from my childhood I couldn't reconcile. Mm-hmm. And then when I figured out, just through, I took this person's idea, that person's idea, this person's, and I made it into like, oh, this actually makes total sense. It is totally consistent, and I can explain it to my logical brain. And so I created a course called Engineer Yourself. And so people like me can see the logic behind emotions, because I know there's a lot of logical people. There's a lot of engineers who don't see the point of emotions. Like,
yeah,
what are that water coming out of your eyes? You know?
So true. That's so
and
true.
You can really talk yourself out of feeling. But feeling is really the spice of being a human.
I know.
Yeah. In between, I had started a product-based business that I have since given up. But when that product-based business was kind of on hiatus, because I had trained up my national network on it, and then I thought, it's time for them to do it, you know, walk the sidewalks, talk to people. And I'm just, what am I going to do? So I had this book in the back of my mind that was brewing for decades, actually, maybe not decades, but lots of years, that I thought, you know, I'm going to start writing this book. So I joined a writer's group. I joined blah, 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 to just get this book out. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to self-publish this book. How do I self-publish? I'm going to learn how to self-publish. So I bought another course, learned how to self-publish. And then along the way, and this is where I met you, is I came across this guy who says, you know, make a mission-based business. So since my book was sort of a personal development focused book, I thought, yeah, why don't I make this into a business? So started on that thing, met you. You know, there's just a lot of a nice network of solopreneurs that we encourage each other. We're, you know, making sure we stay on track, being accountable to each other, cheering each other on. I think that's really important. Now I just have taken a big jump into like, let's do this, because I don't know if it's going to, you know, succeed or fail, but I know that on my dying bed, if I don't try it, you know, I'll regret it. So.
And so bringing you up to today where your transformational coaching is then helping those people kind of connect their logical mind and their feeling, their feelings or their heart, connecting the head with the heart, right? So yeah, that they can fully be integrated, which when we're integrated, we're whole, and we usually discover why we're supposed to be here or why we are here. So yeah, that's awesome work. No, we resonate on that so deeply, because I obviously we met in that program where we were trying to discover our platform or our mission and our spiritual mission, which is really where you find success when you connect with your spiritual mission.
Yeah.
And so, no, I just love that. And with this whole science meets spirit, you're helping these engineers, but you're also helping other people, not just engineers. You're helping really everyone who comes to you for the coaching. And you came into this idea of relaxed productivity, which I just love, because people are like running around like,
yeah,
no joke, like robots.
Headless chickens. Yes. Robots.
We are
robotic headless chickens.
Oh, that's a good one. Robotic headless chickens. And it's true, because sometimes you'll say something to someone that's really deep or heartfelt and they'll just pass right over it. Do you ever notice that? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll say like, oh, well, I have a funeral to go to. And they'll just be like, oh, okay, when do you want to reschedule? It's like, do you not even realize I just told you I have a funeral? And it, mind you, it might be somebody that isn't close to me, but what if it was my mom or my dad? So, you know, it's just people I think are going so fast that they're not connecting on that spirit level anymore. So your science meets spirit, and then leading it into this relaxed productivity. These are such golden nuggets that people need to focus in on. Relaxed productivity. Can you expound on that and then tell us what you're doing with it?
Right. So yeah, that's what I was seeing in a lot of my clients and a lot of people that I talk to. And you know, when you learn the secrets of how to think and how your thoughts affect your body and all of that stuff that goes along with it, I'm able to be relaxed in almost any situation, because I see a bigger picture. I understand the bigger picture. And so when I see people all stressed, it's like, I just want you to know this stuff, right? And so that's why I thought I'm going to, because normally, you know, when I was trying to sell the engineer yourself, it was like some engineers don't see the value in emotions. So I got to get them where they see value, and that's productivity. And then because they're stressed, I'm going to put in the word relaxed, because I'm not stressed, right? So, and then that is really, I think, hitting a nerve with people, with my connections, right? So I'm just starting a course called Relaxed Productivity, where I'm walking people through, you know, why we're in this state, and then the different parts of ourselves that we can control and how they work together. So we're going to do a week on your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, your body, and then finally presence. So that's more of the spirit. And then do it in a way that is kind of logically presented with studies, with backup, I guess, with the full knowledge that there is a space before science catches up to the truth, right? There is magic before science. And I think whether or not something is proven, there's a lot of things we can feel and that we know to be true, even though there's not a study.
And I love that. Magic before science. That is so freaking cool. Magic before science.
Yeah.
There you go. There's another book for you. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Yes. I'm diving into this digital course creation, because as well, I was doing one-on-one coaching, and I was just like, I don't know about you, but my butt's flat most of the day. And then you stand up and you go, oh, it's very flat.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. So I just wanted to be able to reach more people without being on my butt. So that's going, I'm diving into the digital creation and just seeing where that goes. And so far, so good.
And you do this at rocket speed, because let's go back to the book and we'll talk about your book at the end.
That but one is not rocket speed.
Right, but that's okay, because you and I share that same timeline as far as decades with a book idea. So I'm with you, girl. I'm like the cicada that, you know, it's been 17 years and hopefully I come out right with the book this year. It's been brewing since 2007, actually. And so
Gotta do it before it evaporates and the coffee pot breaks.
Yeah, exactly. That's another one. You take upon self-learning. You've trained yourself in many ways, right? You said, you know, you've absorbed YouTube. You made your way out of that position with the kids and the overwhelming work position. And you always find a solution, right? So you want this book and you come across publishing. And so do you decide to teach yourself everything about self-publishing, right? And so can you just tell everybody a little bit about the rabbit hole you went down with publishing? Because that's an amazing story and a lucrative.
Yeah, it's not too bad. And I didn't do it by myself. I did buy another course. Okay. Because that is another problem with engineers, is that we think we can figure it all out by ourselves, right? Like, give me... look at my husband is also an engineer. Every time something breaks in the house, he needs to go figure it out himself. I'm just like, freaking please hire somebody.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's great. But I did get this course for self-publishing because I was like, I need to figure out how to get my book into the world. And doing it the traditional way looks like a long way to go. So took this self-publishing course. I bought it. And then when I started the first lesson, it said, oh, we're going to do fiction books because those are very commercial. And I was just like, oh, mine's going to be nonfiction, but okay. And then, you know, they said 9% of Amazon sales are nonfiction. I'm going, what? That's all I read. So 91% of that is fiction. There's a lot of people out there reading fiction, because I know there's a lot of people reading nonfiction, right? And then 55% of that 91%, here's your nice math lesson of today, is romance. I'm going, who the heck is reading romance? Because I do not read romance.
But right? Not your engineers, that's for sure, right?
No.
They're not reading.
None of my engineering friends are reading romance. I can probably confirm that. But so I'm just like, I looked at my husband going, what the hell did I just sign up for? I've just signed up to learn how to publish romance. And he goes, well, you paid for it. Just do it. Like, how about you just try it for a year? And I'm like, okay. And you know, that is probably the best attitude when you're learning something, is just like, okay, you know, just go for it. And so every lesson they would say, you know, start your website. So I'd just go and do, start my website. Hook your website to this. Done. So I started publishing romance. And
under a pen name.
Under a pen name. I'm never going to reveal.
Yeah, reveal. That. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
But it is like, there are a lot of people reading romance because they're even reading my books, right? I can make a good living out of doing romance books.
Well, right. We talked about that. And you said it's like a 5+ figure a month situation. Like you got right into it. And it wasn't even your name or your face.
No.
It was just following the system, right?
Yeah. It was just, anyway. So it was like, that took up a year of my, so that slowed stuff down in terms of like, I started making money. I was having so much fun because every cover needs a hunky guy, right? So it's like, oh, I'm sorry. I have to do some work and look at some hunky guys today. I have to choose my next cover. You know, those kind of things. Is I could not believe this is what I was doing. And then it's like, oh, I just have to fix up this intimacy scene.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's almost like you have to close your eyes when you're writing these stuff because it gets a little steamy. But steamy is where the money is. So,
and you had a whole system in place, like you had editors and you had writers, and you were overseeing all this.
Yeah. So it really got to be like project management, which I'm good at project management, I think, because of the engineering background, right? Like I could pull in a writer, I could pull in an editor and oversee everything. And then I ended up doing a lot of writing and editing myself. And actually right now I'm doing it all just because it just, maybe.
You still have it going then. That's testament to the whole theme of really finding your spiritual mission, because although this is making a lot of money, you still aren't satisfied, right? It's like you have to go back to really the spiritual mission.
Yeah.
And so that business can continue, right? It can continue, but it's not going to nourish you.
No. And I did it for a year, and then it was my birthday in June, and I was just like, I had a birthday going, what the hell am I doing? Like I am, I came in to do this spiritual mission. I'm writing a book and now I'm publishing contemporary romance. Like what and I just got sucked in because it was so fun and because it was making me money. So I just made a commitment. Like I'm going to really go in for my transformational coaching, my digital stuff. It's now or never, baby. I'm not getting any younger. And you gotta sell yourself and you gotta, put yourself out there. And when you start taking professional photos and you're just like, oh my God, can you smooth out those lines a bit? So I gotta get it out before I have to take the whole eraser to your face, right?
Oh, you're so funny. I love your sense of humor. No, I agree. Let's just put a tape in the middle of my, get rid of my 11s. So here's the thing. I love how you just have so many things going, but you always come back to base and you are really dedicated to this book that you've been working on for a long time. So let's go to using number two to get to number one. This is Angela's book that she's been working on. I've known Angela for 3 years now. I met her. Obviously you've heard this in the intro, but we've known each other since a course, right? Another course. The course we both bought together.
Of course met on a course.
Of course we met on a course. The silver lining to courses is that you meet great people. And even if it costs us thousands of dollars, at least we have our friendship, which is priceless.
At least we have our friendship.
Yeah.
Money anymore, but we have friendships.
And I am reminded of that quite often because some of my great friends now are from the digital virtual world, and we've never met in person, which I hope we get to someday.
Yes. and I'm probably coming to you because you're living in a warmer place.
Yes, you'll definitely have to come here. So using number two to get to number one, let's talk about that. That is a great, and we share common thoughts on this process of digestion. So this is a big one that we are on the same plane with. So why don't you expound on your book and the title and what it's about?
Well, you are way smarter than I am. My take on the digestive system is that I eat, I digest, and I poop. And I know you do too, right? That's the whole...
Rewind us.
Yeah. And that's my whole connection piece is like, I love connecting to people and I love trying to find that point of connection. And I found that over the years, and I've traveled and lived in different places, everyone is just trying to do the best they can in their little corner of the world. Everyone has the same hopes and dreams for their children, their families, their work. You know, we are all really the same people. So the same thing, we're the same, we share a spirit. I feel that. I feel like we're all one. But what we share physically is that we all poop. So that's my whole analogy is like using number two to get to number one, because I put together life lessons that are mapped to your digestive system. So things that you could say about the digestive system. So for instance, like choosing something to eat. is like choosing what thought to put into your brain. Because once you put it in your mouth, you know, there are a few different stages you could still get it out, but it is going to hurt a little more as it goes down, right? So like once it's down, once it's, I've had that swallow mechanism, it isn't coming out. So after you eat something, say, like I'm also a little lactose intolerant, but once in a while, it's really nice to have ice cream. But I know that once it goes down, I got to pay the consequences of that choice to have ice cream. And it's the same thing with the thought, is like, if I'm going to tell myself every day that I suck at something and I can't get that out of my head, then I got to pay the consequences of that thought. I got to let that momentum run all its the course through me, and maybe I'll experience something bad, but before I realize, I got to change that thought, right? And make a different choice for the thought you put in your head. So that's those kind of analogies. And of course you can imagine going poop, you got to let your shit go.
Yeah. 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 So figuratively and literally, you really absolutely do have to let the shit go. Yeah.
And I think, you know, when I talk about the whole digestive system, it's like, if you are alive, you have a digestive system and an active one. So you can read the book, you know, and you will relate to it. Whereas like when I would meet people and they'd say, oh yeah, I went hiking in Italy and it was, you know, had a pizza on the mountain or something. Not everyone can relate to that. You just kind of listen and you're a bystander going, oh, that sounds cool. Okay, next. But if you say to someone, you know, I ate something really bad last night and I was on the toilet doing the, you know, you're clenching your butt cheeks. If you don't know how this is going to end up, but you got to let it go sometime. Like, you can probably relate to that. You've probably had that experience where you know exactly the fear of letting your butt cheeks relax, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The fear of letting go. I actually think the title, you know, you might consider changing the title to Let That Shit Go. I think that'd be really great. We have all of those. We have all of those titles now, the best-selling, really controversial titles out there. I try to keep the podcast clean, but there's, you know, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Bleep. And there's, you know, there's some other. I think that it's definitely getting people's attention.
It is.
And, but no, I love this concept. So
I know. More. And I guess that's maybe something for my advanced reader copy team, which I'm trying to build at the moment, is like, do you like the title or should I be something like, let that shit go? I mean, I don't swear a lot as a person. So I was just like, would I like that title or should I just put it in my subtitle?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, we can share the link to your anything that has to do with this book, because I think you are trying to build you want to talk about the audience you're trying to build for the pre-release.
Yeah. So to help a book with visibility once it's published, usually authors will build an ARC team, something I learned in romance. Yeah. So it's an advanced reader copy. So you get a free copy of the book, but you promise to review it on launch day, because putting in reviews, any kind of book attention on Amazon or wherever you're going to post it, any kind of attention will get the algorithm going and it will show your book to more people if there's more interest. So that's why authors try to get people to put reviews on launch week. Mm-hmm. So that's what an ARC team does. You give them the book and then they agree to put an honest review onto your page.
Yeah, right. And everyone can find that at angelajameson.com, which we'll link to in the show notes. They can find your ARC link there.
It's under the title of offers, because I'll put my courses there, which I don't have a course that you can sign up to right now, but it will be under offers where it says ARC team.
Mm-hmm. That's important. Well, I can't wait to be, I'm on your advanced reader copy team.
Are you?
Yeah, I signed up.
Oh, so, I didn't even, like, I haven't advertised it yet.
You have so many. You just missed my name. You have so many people signing up.
No, I don't have many. But it's
I got my welcome email, so I'm on your team.
Yay! Did I make a welcome? Oh my gosh! Yeah. I'm so good.
You're engineered out, right? You've got all those systems in place. So your automated email came back.
Yes, I'm trying to automate this so that I don't sit here and cry all day because of all the stuff you have to do.
You're doing a great job. You are. You really are. So you can teach me too.
Absolutely.
So you've done so many things. I just love it. You're so inspiring. And you have a great sense of humor. I love it.
And what is life without humor, right? So why not write a book about pooping?
Exactly. What does your husband, I have to ask, what does your husband think of the idea? And has he read it or does he know about it? Or, you know, sometimes husbands and wives don't really communicate that well, but I wondered, does your husband read your stuff and what does he think?
Only one person has read my book, and that person, he basically bullied me for it. It wasn't my husband, but he wants to do a podcast on each chapter of my book. Right. My husband hasn't read it. But my husband knows my affinity towards referring to poop. He knows anything, like my mind will always go to poop. And so if something happens, he's just like, well, that only took you 10 minutes to bring that up, you know, that kind of stuff. He's used to it. But it's been born in me. And this is part of the book, is like my origin story of poop is.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Like, why do you have such an affinity towards poop? Something must have happened to you.
Yeah, I know. And everyone can blame their childhood and everyone can blame their mothers. And this is true for me too. Because as I was growing up, my mother would say to me that she goes, you're constipated. You should do this and this and this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, number one, I probably didn't even know what constipated means. But the way she was looking at me, like, you know, the face that people look at you like something's wrong. And it's kind of disappointing. And there's something you can do about it. And I'm just like, okay. And then this is probably a little too much information. But she goes, when you go poop, it doesn't sound right. It's ploppy. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm sure my little 6-year-old brain did not say what the hell. But I'm just like, you know, you have those incredulous feelings of you're listening to me poop.
Yeah.
And then also conflicting with, and I'm not doing it right, you know, the wanting to please.
Yeah.
And wanting to be the best at something. I am not pooping right. So I think about it way too much. And it's, I got to blame my mother. But I mean, in that way, I think it's just made me really human. It's made me connect with people in a really
deep way.
I know people can relate. And I don't use it all the time. Like, I'm not going to bore you with poop stories unless you ask. But, you know, I do use it tastefully. I don't. Mm-hmm. And so part of me, it doesn't really, because I had the book concept way before I did the engineer yourself concept.
Mm-hmm.
So
but there's crossover, I think.
There is crossover. And sure. I will use the occasional example, which I think I did in the first week already. But, you know, it's just me and take it or leave it, right?
Yeah. But through this book release, you might then release the trauma of your mother telling you that you weren't pooping right. You know, this might be a really healing moment for you. We got to get this book out.
Maybe. And you know, maybe I have to, I was thinking I've got to include like printed toilet paper as a bonus to the back of the book. So you can read, you know, personal development things on your toilet paper.
That is classic. You've got it. You've got to.
So much to do.
I know, too much to do, but you're going to do it in a relaxed and productive way. That's for sure. Right.
Which you need to be relaxed if you want to be productive in the bathroom.
Oh my God. It's just so many.
Right? You start going and it's everywhere. There, like, you can't get away from it. And I might have infected you now. I'm sorry.
Oh, Angela, this is so great and uplifting because it's so true. And people really, you know, they get maybe red-faced about it or they get embarrassed, but it's a fact.
And everybody does it. And it is a true marker of health.
It is. And that I come at it from the Ayurvedic perspective, the Ayurvedic medicine, the traditional Indian medicine. People who listen to the show or know me personally know that digestion is the key to health. And the way that you look at if you're digesting effectively and efficiently is by analyzing your stool or poop, the other. So you are analyzing what that looks like, because if it doesn't look right and doesn't sound right, then
apparently
there is something that is disturbed in the digestive system. And yeah, that is the key to health. So yeah, we have a lot of crossover here. We could have a whole show. We could have a whole course on it.
Except you would be the only one with content. I would just be making jokes in the background.
That's okay. That's good. It's a good SNL episode. So you are amazing. You're inspiring. You have so much knowledge. I love this. Just talking to you every time we talk to each other, I'm always learning something. What kind of advice can you give to women? What advice can you give to women engineers to get closer to their spirit or more of the feeling side?
Right. So women engineers are in an incredibly interesting position because it's still a male dominated field. But there's so many pressures to be like the majority, right? So even when I was working, the women that were getting promoted, they were the ones who were like the men, right? So I would really recommend women engineers to be themselves, be true to themselves. Don't conform to the mold of being an emotionless bastard. You know, everyone gets affected by kind of a crappy middle manager, but I think women have a wonderful empathy gene. Like it's kind of one of the big differences. That we tend to, as engineers, pro and con out of our lives. Like, is this emotion gonna serve me here? No, because it's not gonna be received well by the majority of the room. But it's like, be yourself, show them your strengths, show them who you really are. Never hide that. So that would be, it is a big battle. It is a big, like, you need to be super strong. Knowing who you are, knowing what you want to create in your life so that you can be the example to everyone else.
Yeah, that's awesome. I have two young nieces who are engineers. Amazing. One aeronautical engineer. Another is computer science. Yeah. So, I mean, this is good advice, really, to stay strong. And we're breaking through, though. Us ladies, us women are breaking through, right? We have a whole month. We have a whole month. My husband said, why isn't there a men's month? Why do you guys get a month? We don't have a month. So I was like, that's a really big conversation. So,
and that's like, I don't know, should I whip you on the side of your head for asking that?
Yeah, exactly.
No, but that's also an important part is like, this came up, I went to a function yesterday and we have a lot of Indigenous issues here in Canada. Mm-hmm. And the message was, don't make the person who needs help to be the one who always needs to explain. Like, take some responsibility to find out, right? Yeah. So say your husband asking you that, it's like, honey, you don't understand what we have to go through. So why don't you take a moment out of your privileged white man day to find out about what I go through? No, you don't have to say that angrily, but you know. Sometimes it's like that, right? But I did feel the message of, I don't understand what Indigenous people go through. Mm-hmm. They have intergenerational trauma, right? So right. I need to take the responsibility to find out. And I think women in the workplace, when you see someone who is, you know, slightly different, take that responsibility to find out more about them and actually do it with everybody. Right.
Yeah.
Everyone's dealing with something that they don't always bring to the work table that affects everything. So take the time.
Empathy, right? Empathy. What about women and entrepreneurs? You've been on this journey of entrepreneurship. What's your advice for entrepreneurs. And you've done so many things. My gosh, it's like, okay, what's the next thing? And you do, and it all makes sense though. It all makes sense because it all comes back to your interests and where you want to go and what would be some good advice for the women entrepreneurs.
Well, I think to find a mentor, because mm-hmm. especially when you start out as a solopreneur, you're just by yourself. You have to do everything yourself. You know this very well, Joanne. And it's so finding a mentor, someone who is a few steps ahead of you is really great, but also finding a community of people doing the same thing as you so that you can keep each other accountable. You can check in once in a while and say, hey, you know, you told me you were going to put on a course this month. How is it going? That kind of thing, right? And that's like, yeah, because if you are by yourself, sometimes you can let things slip because you feel like you're not ready or blah, blah, blah. And, you know, a big part of that is not waiting for things to be perfect.
Right.
Just going out there and doing it. And that was, it's kind of one of the messages to myself as I run this digital course is like, this is going to provide my blooper reel. You know, this is going to be in 5 years from now, this is going to be my blooper reel and I am going to own it. So I'm going to try my best right now. As you go along, it's just going to get better. So I got to start somewhere. If you pro and con yourself out of a great idea that came to you, you will never do it. If you try to analyze everything, you will
never do it. I know.
So just do it. Suck mm-hmm. at it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and unfortunately I'm sucking in front of 121 people, but I'm very upfront saying this is the first time I'm doing this. So you're going to be part of my evolution and you're going to be part of my blooper reel. Mm-hmm. So
that's amazing. But you know, I have to say you did not suck at it. You might have thought we're always our worst and our best critic. And you didn't. You were very professional. And it's great. You are getting better in the moment. I completely agree with giving everything a shot. And even if you give things a shot and they don't work, you pivot, right? We pivot.
You learn about it.
You learn about it, right? And you got to throw it out there. And people, I've watched people go from 0 to 8-figure businesses in 6 to 7 years. And it's because they weren't afraid to try.
Right.
And it's not all about being an 8-figure business or money, but money is nice.
Yeah.
But but I guess once you're doing something that is in alignment with your spiritual mission, then you know, like it doesn't matter because you're so in the flow, right?
Right.
You're in the flow.
Right.
So finally, let's end with what advice can you give to working mothers? Because you've been there, like you said, bouncing your baby while you're typing your emails. What advice can you give to them?
Well, I see the pressures that working mothers are under. And this phrase usually makes people really upset, but it is, you can have it all. The problem is, people don't define their all. When you define your all in terms of what is really important to me, is it like making star-shaped sandwiches for my kid? Is that going to be what really lifts me up at the end of the day? You have to decide what is important for you to be part of and what are you prepared to let go? And when you can find total peace in that, and that is self-defined, that is not society defined, that is not your own mother defined, this is usually family unit defined. What are we prepared to not let go of because this is important to us? And when we focus on that and we achieve that, then you can have it all and be, you know, agree, I am totally happy with this.
Yeah.
You don't even have to defend it. And then you can have it all.
That's
good.
But
it's like, don't put pressure on yourself. Define it for yourself.
Define it. And that's the thing. I think people need to define it first.
Yes.
I think they get frustrated. I think it's extremely frustrating when you're not defining it. So then you're always circling in your brain, right?
Yes.
Can you say or give the example of how you defined it, like in one sentence? What was that? What helped you define it?
What helped me define it is Oh, yeah. So this will go a little bit into productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Is what is important to you? So what you would look into your child's eyes,
mm-hmm.
that moment will never come back again. What are you willing to give up?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when I realized, and you realize it when your oldest gets to a certain age. I think it was when my oldest got to 10 and my youngest was 2. And I'm just like, how did she get to be 10?
Right.
You know, and it's like the years are passing way too quick. I need to slow this train down.
Yeah.
And really savor the moments and not buy into what society says we need to be productive.
Yeah.
What is, and that's redefining productivity. That is redefining your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be, how productive are you in creating memories with your children? How productive are you in creating tender moments with your spouse? How productive are you in having a calm home life? Those are the productivity questions we need to ask ourselves, because those are the things that last. It's, you know, and I said this on the course, Joanne, was what really centers me all the time is to do the deathbed exercise.
Yes, the eulogy exercise. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What like, do you want to be remembered for?
Amen. I feel like that Pastor Jameson, amen. you pulled me in. I was like captivated by that. That was like a sermon.
There you go.
I can't think of a better way to wrap up today with that. That was awesome. I felt like I am so captivated by you. And those were really powerful words. No, I love that. That's so true.
Hey.
So in the show notes, I'm going to recap those main points because those are really good points to drive it home. Yeah. Where can people find you? How can they work with you? Can you give us the whole rundown?
Oh, that's a big question. So my website is just angelajameson.com. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, although I haven't been this week because I've been doing this course and getting sweaty pits. Yeah, the book, you can sign up to be part of my ARC team, which is on the website under offers.
Right.
So LinkedIn and Instagram would be the best place.
Okay.
And then whenever I do courses, I will be announcing those there. And mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you have a newsletter?
I do. Yeah. So people can sign up on my website.
AngelaJameson.com. And if they want to work with you, are you working individually with people or just through the groups and the course?
So far, just the course. I kind of let go of all my one-on-ones. Well, right now, it's just sort of digital.
And if they figure out who your alter ego romance novel pen is. That's awesome.
Mystery of the day.
The big mystery of the day. No, this is great, Angela. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. We always have a good time.
Yeah, time flies. So really honing in on those things that you just mentioned on kids, family, and really what you're here for is so important because time does fly. So until we meet again, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joanne. And thanks for doing all you do. And you're doing great stuff.
Thank you. Receive that.
I am currently enrolled in Angela's Relax Productivity course, and it's exactly what we need in this hustle bustle society. It's a way to take down the stress levels and feel a sense of calm as we work towards our goals. She's offered a free one-on-one coaching call with the enrollment in her next course with code NOURISHED. Use the code NOURISHED when signing up for Relax Productivity. And you will receive an email with a free one-on-one with Angela Jameson. Go to angelajameson.com to get more information on Angela's awesome course, Relaxed Productivity.
Thanks for listening. And if you feel inclined to nourish this podcast, please leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts.